AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this show, and this Monday, October the 21st, 2024. Joining me in studio is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And good morning, Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
And the gentlemen, we are staring down the presidential election, right?
Coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Finally.
It's the final countdown.
Yes. And then we
Oh, that sounds like a Kamala Harris laugh.
Yeah.
Getting the same kind of the same vibe from that singing voice.
Mm.
I'll work on that after.
I mean, it seems
you really don't need to work on that, Chris. I would just drop it all together.
That guy sings really high. Well, he did back 40 years ago.
There are some things you can work on and then some things you can't or shouldn't.
All right. So Kamala Harris, the VP, is coming down the home stretch with the former president, Trump, and they are vying for the votes of Americans. And listen, the polls right now, I always say the polls for what they're worth, and right. I think they are worth something when you look at a collection of polls, not necessarily just one poll. But the polls are trending in the swing states, which is where the election will be won or lost, towards Trump. And I shall bring forth evidence now.
Yes.
If you go to the Real Clear Politics, which I reference a lot here, No, they don't pay me. The Real Clear Politics, that is where you get the polls are, you know, all, what do you call it? All wrapped into
just
one.
Just combined.
Combined polls. Okay. So here, the battleground states include Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia. Those are considered the battleground states where, you know, it could go red, it could go blue on any given election. A lot of states now are very predictable. You know that in Mississippi, we are going to go for the Republican candidate. Doesn't matter if it's a ham sandwich. Okay. Then there are some good, there are good ham sandwiches and bad ham sandwiches. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm not dissing all ham sandwiches, saying they're not qualified. In California, for example, they're going to go blue every day, all day. It doesn't matter if they've got, a corn dog, for example, up for against a Republican. They're going, the Californians are going to vote for the corn dog as long as it's a Democrat. So those things are predictable. But what I'm saying is, I was looking at these Real Clear Politics averages, which I have here before me. Now, understand, these are very tiny margins of a lead for Trump. All right. But yet they are all trending in his direction.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona shows Trump up 1.6. Nevada, Trump up 1 point. 0.8. Wisconsin, Trump up, which is a shock.
Mm-hmm.
You would think Harris would be well ahead in Wisconsin, but no, Trump. I don't know why I say that, except that they typically vote Democrat. You got statewide elections. I don't know. You got, I'm thinking about Wisconsin. Maybe that's not fair. They're kind of a purple state. They can go Johnson. Senator Johnson's from there. So right. Anyway, Michigan, here's a shocker. Michigan is up. Trump is up 1.2 in Michigan. Pennsylvania, Trump up 0.8. North Carolina, Trump up 0.5. North Georgia, Trump up 1.8. So I just say, Ed, Trump is ahead in all the swing states right now. Why? What do you attribute that?
Well, first, I do want to have two caveats here. So all of these are within the margin of error. However,
yes, they are.
However, in 2020 and also in 2016,
yes,
the Democratic candidates were up substantially,
yes,
in these kinds of, yes, polls, which is fairly typical in,
yes,
terms of polling. You know, if you just have a generic race between Republicans and Democrats, Democrats typically are ahead. So when we look at the swing states now, 15 days out of the election, and you see Trump up, even though it's within the margin of error,
right,
that's a substantial difference to the way things were in 2020 and 2016, probably indicating that President Trump, if things stay the same over the next couple of weeks, could win those battleground states. It would be extraordinary to sweep all seven, but if he did,
it's a possibility.
It's a possibility, and he may win them by 3 or 4 percentage points.
Right.
Yeah.
I do want to say that everything Tim just shared from the battleground states, I've taken a screenshot from all of the battleground states from Real Clear Politics and posted those on our Today's Issues Facebook page. Look also for the electoral map, because Real Clear Politics says pretty much if the election was today, here's how things would play out. And Trump would win 312 to Kamala's 200-something. You need 270 to win. So basically they're saying if it was today, Trump would win. And these battleground states that Tim just read off are going towards Trump if it were today.
That would be by roughly 90 electoral votes.
Yes.
That victory, if he sweeps all those battleground states.
And there's a lot of time left for somebody to gain ground or lose ground because we're 15 days away.
So why was the former president cooking fries at McDonald's this weekend, Ed?
Well, listen, I know we probably have some sound on this.
We do.
But President Trump went to a McDonald's. This is in Wisconsin, I think.
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Pennsylvania.
And so he, I don't know, surprised people driving up. They did have to vet the people driving up because he has had his life threatened. He's been shot at. But listen, President Trump, I think President Trump genuinely likes people. I think that comes across.
As long as they like him.
Well, that's true.
And you say nice things about him.
Right.
If you guys want to just go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just,
I'll see myself out.
No, I think he genuinely likes people. You are right, Tim and Chris, that you kind of have to play ball for him to continue liking. But I think he likes being around people. So when he shows up at a restaurant or a ball game, for
right.
example, and now at McDonald's, he just likes that kind of. He's one of those kind of people who likes to work the room. Plus, he has an excellent. I think he has knowledge is not the right word, instincts,
intuition,
instincts, yeah. on what will play in terms of
public relations.
He's, yeah, good at that. So he shows up at McDonald's serving fries. He's dressed in the little outfit.
It was a stroke of genius, I think.
It's huh? absolutely
a political
what he
stroke
does
of
so
genius.
Well.
Go ahead.
Now,
please.
Part of the reason why he wanted to do this is because Kamala Harris, Vice President Kamala Harris, has claimed that she once worked at a McDonald's. Now, that is under dispute. People have claimed they went back and found the manager. They can't find any evidence that she worked there. So Trump wanted to prove that he himself has worked at McDonald's more than she has. And that's what he said. Here in our clip here, clip one.
Now I have worked at McDonald's. I've now worked for 15 minutes more than Kamala. Okay, she never worked here. I've now worked 15 minutes more than Kamala. So I worked at McDonald's. I'm going to say because she's lying, Kamala. That's why. Why would she lie? She shouldn't lie about it.
The headline today should have been Fries and Lies or something like that.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
That's Fries great. And Lies. Hey, can I just ask, I know we're 2 weeks away from the election.
Yeah.
Is it Kamala or Kamala? I'm still asking this question.
She herself says Kamala, and people that are her allies in media have corrected people on air when they say Kamala. So they're going with Kamala at the moment.
You think that Trump is doing that on purpose? Or
no, I think he just – I'm pretty sure she herself a long time ago said it, Kamala.
Okay. But, all right. I heard him say that in that clip. But anyway, to Tim's point, that's a stroke of public relations genius because he's not only pointing out the fact that I don't know whether Kamala Harris worked at McDonald's or not.
Either.
It wouldn't be unusual for a manager not to remember a teenager working at McDonald's, but Trump is pigeonholing her as someone who lies, and she has been lying a lot, and now he does it in a fun way, and it's somehow to me more relatable when he dons the getup and starts handing out French fries. He looks like a normal person, even though he's a billionaire.
Yeah. He looked like the manager there in the apron and the tie. What's interesting here is a lot of Democrats are saying this was a publicity stunt. It was never
really
a real thing.
Of course.
Who'd have thought in politics
right
we'd be having a publicity stunt?
And a billionaire president working at McDonald's.
Right.
Who would die?
My point is every day's a publicity stunt for all the candidates.
Yes.
Huh?
And what's interesting is nobody has raised that concern when it comes to Kamala calling a state or a local official to talk about hurricane response, and the guy or lady that she's talking to just happened to have a high-quality camera rolling while they're talking to one another on the phone. Nonetheless, Democrats are saying this was a huge publicity stunt and Trump's deranged. He's lost his mental faculties. That's not me saying that. That's Representative Barbara Lee and a whole host of others. Mm-hmm. Here's one example. It's Congresswoman Barbara Lee of California. It's going to begin with MSNBC talking to her, but Representative Lee will be at the end. Clip two.
What is the logic behind this, going to a McDonald's? I mean, we know the guy likes Big Macs and Filet-O-Fish, and he's used the word love to describe the way he feels about the food there before. But what's this about?
There's no logic to it. It's a stunt. He has not put forth an economic agenda. He, as you know, appears to be not well. And he's engaged in some really bizarre types of activities during this campaign.
Yeah, well, it's a Democrat talking about a Republican. Yeah. And that's, I just think overall to middle America out there, it was a fun thing for Trump to do. And I think he scored a lot of points for doing it. Yeah. Talking about going to McDonald's.
Yeah.
If you missed it, Trump went to McDonald's in Wisconsin, a battleground state, over the weekend and cooked fries for 15 minutes and served them. People drive by.
Yeah.
Handing them fries.
No, listen, I think it's a brilliant tactic. And we all know that President Trump, when it comes to public relations, and it comes to kind of that self-promotion, he's been a genius at it for 40, 50 years. And it's been nowhere more evident than in this election.
If I'm a Kamala Harris, I'm going to call her Kamala because that's what she calls herself, right?
Currently.
When I heard. And you're the Democrats right now. This is not saying they will lose, but they're worried. They are worried because of what Ed mentioned earlier, the polls from 16 and 20 compared to today and how they were ahead. They, the Democrats, Clinton and Biden, were ahead in the polls in the swing states by 3 to 6 points. And that evaporated to almost zero on election day, right? And now you've got Harris and Trump tied, in essence. So if the trends work out from past two election cycles, then there's a real chance that Trump could sweep the battleground states, honestly.
And to your point here, I've got some audio of three Democrats, Bob Casey of Pennsylvania, Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin, and Elisa Slotkin of Michigan. Listen to their campaign ads here. They're all
Democrats running for Senate.
And they're all promoting their connections to Donald Trump in some campaign ads. Clip 10.
Casey bucked Biden to protect fracking, and he sided with Trump to end NAFTA and put tariffs on China to stop them from cheating.
Tammy Baldwin got President Trump to sign her Made in America bill.
And then she got President Biden to make it permanent.
That's why I wrote a law signed by President Trump forcing drug companies to show their actual prices.
So those are Democrat incumbent senators in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, and their television ads are citing their agreements with Trump.
The Orange Man bad, yes.
Yeah.
And they're so all
they're trying to play the middle. They're trying to, you know,
trying listen, to reach
I think that's perfect. I think that's evidence not only of Trump's popularity in these battleground states, but also I think it's an illustration of the fact that old school liberals, after this election, if Trump wins, especially if he wins handily by 70, 80, or 90 electoral votes, there's going to have to be a reckoning within the Democratic Party where the establishment in that party has to isolate and cut out the radical left. They're going to have to move back towards old school liberal ideas because it's the radical nature of the Democratic Party, along with the economy, that is, I think, causing President Trump to be more popular.
Yes.
And to have Democrats tying themselves to Trump and talking about kind of common sense decisions on things like energy, I think is a sign that the Democratic Party, unless they win, if they win with the radical left in control of the party, then they're going to continue to go.
Right. So my first election was in 2000.
You ran?
No. My first election, I voted in.
I missed something.
Wasn't old enough.
In your background.
Wasn't old enough to. I did sign up for selective service at 18, but I didn't run for POTUS.
Oh,
but anyway.
Okay.
So my first election that I voted in was 2000. And the first election I really remember and kind of paid a lot of attention to was 92. And, you know, I remember when, like, Bill Clinton used to talk about abortion being, quote, safe, legal, and rare.
Right.
30 years later, we're now just pro-abortion. There is no pro-choice anymore.
All 9 months.
Yeah, it's kill them if you got them, pretty much is what Democrats are saying. And meanwhile, you have people like Senator Schumer, when he was a congressman back in 94, then Representative Chuck Schumer is the reason we have the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, or RFRA. And now they want to completely gut that and just force us to sell the cakes and make the cakes and all these other things, take the pictures. So today's Democrats are not what they were 30 years ago. They've completely moved 4,000 miles to the left.
President Clinton signed the Defense of Marriage Act.
Yes, he did.
In 1996. Mm-hmm. So that is evidence that, and I think by all standards, the Republican Party has pretty much remained the same in its views, that while the Democrats have lurched far, far, far to the left.
Except for life, I would say. Well, the issue of pro-life is not as prominent in the Republican Party as it was. It's less. It matters, but it's less matters less so after the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade.
Yeah.
Well, but you would agree that the rank and file Republicans
are pro-life.
Are still the same.
The vast majority of them. Yeah, the vast majority of them. I'm just saying. It's not a it was an issue more in the immediate aftermath of the Supreme Court overturning Roe versus Wade, but the further we get removed from that, the less it's an issue on either side, Democrats or Republicans. The Democrats, Kamala Harris has got this ad running, and listen, I know Republicans can lie too, you know, but she has got this national ad. I wish I could. I wish I had told you to record it, where she says these are the things that Donald Trump is going to do. She's trying to scare people.
Right.
And she says he's going to pass a national abortion ban.
She said that in the debate, too.
Yeah.
Okay. That is just a bald face. Is it bold or bald?
Either
bold.
Way.
Can it be both? When you say
bold,
something's a bald face lie.
You say bald face or a bold
it's
lie.
It's a lie either way.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a bald-faced lie.
Bald-faced lie, or it's a bold lie, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this case, it was a bald face.
Yeah.
And that's just one word, B-A-L-D-F-A-S-C. F-F-S-E.
Yeah.
bald-face lie. Anyway, Trump can't even do that.
Right.
If he wanted to, it would not be possible. So she said, but she says it in the television ad. She says, as a matter of fact, Donald Trump will pass a national abortion ban.
Right.
That's just.
That wouldn't even get through Congress, I don't think.
No.
I mean, first of all, the Senate is controlled by Democrats.
It'll never even be brought up.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. That's just categorically untrue. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Chris, we thank you for listening to AFR. Again, the presidential election is 2 days from tomorrow, 2 weeks from tomorrow. Of course, there are a lot of other seats at play here in the Senate, in the House, governorships, you know, your own, maybe your own city council, mayors. I mean, there's a lot to vote on 2 weeks from tomorrow, not just the presidency, even though that gets most of the attention. Go ahead, Chris. What's your next story?
One other, while Trump was frying French fries and serving customers there, Kamala Harris was under fire because she was at a rally in which someone in the audience yelled, "Jesus is Lord" or "Christ is King," and she did not respond in ways that they wish she would have. Somebody did the same exact thing at a Trump Vance rally. So listen to the – it's a little hard to make out with the Kamala crowd because there's a lot of background noise. But I've got a montage here of the incident that occurred at the Kamala Harris rally and the one that occurred where J.D. Vance was there. Clip three.
We remember Donald Trump hand-selected three members of the United States Supreme Court with the intention that they would undo the protections of Roe v. Wade, and they did as he intended. Oh, you guys are at the wrong rally. No, I think you meant to go to the smaller one down the street.
There is something really bizarre with Kamala Harris's anti-Christian rhetoric and anti-Christian approach to public policy. That's right, Jesus is King. And I don't think that we've seen.
That was Vance right
yeah,
there.
At the end, yes.
Senator Vance from Ohio, who was responding to. They were talking about the way that Kamala Harris, the VP, had addressed those two young men. Now, I didn't see the whole thing. I saw the testimony from the one of the gentlemen. These are two college students.
Yes.
University of Wisconsin, La Crosse. They went to the rally for Harris. They went there to disrupt it. Okay? Mm-hmm. They went there to disrupt the rally in the name of the pro-life cause.
Correct.
Okay, so one of them yelled something. So it wasn't, they weren't just yelling, "Jesus is Lord." Is that what they said or something like
Jesus
that?
Jesus is Lord, Christ.
But they're Christian men. They were protesting the Harris position on abortion is what they were there for. So that's the context of it. And then you know how what Vance writes there. Mm-hmm. So I'm just more and more impressed with Senator Vance as we go along here.
Yeah.
You guys?
Well, yeah, absolutely. He's articulate. He's smart. I think he understands constitutional government. You know, the Kamala Harris reply, this you're wanting a different rally, the rally down the street, talking about this isn't your crowd. The crowd that is Christian and pro-life is Donald Trump. This is in the wake of Governor Whitmer and of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, mm-hmm. with the Doritos instead of the bread for the Eucharist.
Yes.
That was clearly an attempt to mock communion, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, depending on which denomination you're from. That was mocking mm-hmm. something very dear to the Christian faith. And then followed by Kamala Harris. It's been clear since 2012 when the mention of God in the Democratic National Convention led to boos. Mm-hmm. Okay? This is the anti-faith party on one hand. And certainly Republicans, it's a mixture, but it leans strongly in the direction of being pro-faith. So,
all right, we're going to take a short time out right here. We'll be back with more on Today's Issues after this time out. We'll be right back.
Could the fate of America's children be tied to the fate of our nation? Much like abortionists who end the lives of the unborn, the left is determined to undermine the pro-life movement. First, they target the babies. Then, they come for the rest of us. Preborn stands as a beacon of hope for the most defenseless among us, preborn babies. Every day, Preborn's network of clinics rescues, on average, over 200 babies while surrounding expectant mothers with God's love and offering a free ultrasound. Rescuing the miracle of life has never been more crucial as we navigate this time of moral decline in our nation. Will you join Preborn in protecting the least among us? For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound and give a mother the chance to choose life, not only for her baby, but for herself. An ultrasound doubles a baby's chance at life. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of the show. Tim, Ed, and Chris, and we thank you for joining us. We're going to play now the interview that, for just a minute, it won't take but a minute, but we need some to hear it because we were talking about this before the break. Mm-hmm. There were two young men who were students at the University of Wisconsin La Crosse, and they went to the Kamala Harris rally yesterday, right?
Over the weekend.
And I guess it was in the neighborhood. And so they went there with the intent to protest in the midst of the event, right?
Peacefully protest, yes.
Well, yes. And listen, I don't agree with going to a rally. This is me personally. People may disagree, and that's fine. I don't agree with going to any rally and just getting in the middle of it and start shouting and or protesting in that way. Because I think it's bad.
I'm with you.
I just think it's bad manners and it's a bad look. But some people may say, well, that's the only way to get your message out. Anyway, I don't want to argue about that. I don't agree with that tactic. However, these fellows, do they explain what's going on here?
Yes, and I've posted this link to the entire interview, but we're going to play just a portion of it. Here now is University of Wisconsin La Crosse juniors Luke Pulaski and Grant Beth talking to Fox and Friends Weekend, clip 4.
When she talked about overturning Roe v. Wade and Donald Trump, I yelled out to the crowd that abortion is the sacrament of Satan. And when I said that, I deeply do believe that as a Christian. And about 10 seconds go by, and that's when the video of my friend Grant and I proclaiming that Christ is Lord and Jesus is King, when we said that.
I was pushed by an elderly woman. We were heckled at. We were cursed at. We were mocked. And that's the biggest thing for me personally, in reflection of the event. Jesus was mocked. His disciples were mocked. And that's okay. In reality, we did God's work, and we were there for the right reasons, and God is watching.
Okay, that's the two gentlemen from students, young men from the University of Wisconsin La Crosse, and that's what that's when Kamala Harris said, you're at the wrong rally, you need to go to the other rally. I guess you're talking about Vance's rally?
Trump Vance, like, rally down the street.
Yeah, so... Anyway, all right, you're listening. Anything else to add to that, Ed?
No, I agree with you. I think civil discourse is important. We want to hear the different views on it. The Lincoln-Douglas debates, for example.
I remember those.
You do? You remember those?
Yeah, boy.
Those were yesterday. Those
were
discussing very contentious issues on, matters like, slavery, okay? But the sense was, both sides have to be able to get their point across. I certainly don't disagree with what these young men said.
Right.
In terms of how demonic abortion is. But I just, There are other ways to get your point across without disrupting. I mean, nobody would wants a Trump rally, you know, broken up.
You know, Trump
by gunfire, by gunfire, gun or anything
get that
else.
Guy.
What's that?
At rallies,
no more fries.
When Trump has been challenged at rallies or somebody yelled at him, he's yelled things like "Get that guy" or "Watch that guy."
Yeah, no, I'm just saying.
I mean, he doesn't like it either.
No, I'm not saying anybody likes it. That's why I'm saying people shouldn't do it.
Yeah,
they shouldn't disrupt the. Anyway, that's just my opinion.
All right, so you're
I'm agreeing with you, Tim.
Yes, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, one of the ministries we partner with here at AFR and AFA is Preborn. And we've been partnering with Preborn for a long, long time now. And the CEO is Dan Steiner. And Dan, Daniel on the book here, Dan, he's got a new book out, which we want to tell you about because you want to buy it and read it. And it's called Hearing Jesus Say, Well Done, The Secret to Securing Heaven's Rewards. Good morning, Dan.
Hey, Tim. God bless you guys. How you doing?
Hey, doing well, my friend. Where are you joining us from today?
Sunny Indianapolis.
Okay, that's right. That's home. That's your hometown, right?
Yeah, that's headquarters.
Indianapolis. Tell us about your new book, Hearing Jesus Say Well Done.
Well, I think of the guys that just you mentioned in the protest or that kind of verbally protested the Carmelo Harris, whatever her name is these days, event, and they weren't worried about what happened on Earth. They were worried about what happens after Earth, and that's what the book is about, hearing Jesus say, well done, because here's the deal. We all want to, it's one of the most coveted phrases in Christianity, we all want to hear Jesus tell us on that great day, our first moment in heaven, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. We all want to hear it, but very few people know the biblical context for hearing well done, good and faithful servant. Where is it in the Bible? Where do you find it in the Bible? Probably a good thing to know if you want to hear it, right?
Right.
this is why we wrote the book, as to, you know, because here's, by thankfully, the sacrifice and work of Jesus Christ, you and I will get to heaven by grace through faith plus nothing. It's the finished work of Christ. We'll get there. But to hear well done, that's a different story, as well as the rewards in heaven. They are predicated on how we live our lives. And so this book talks about what is the biblical context for hearing well done, as well as the biblical context for the many rewards that God has waiting for believers in heaven. Jesus said it very clearly in Revelation 22. He says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to what he has done." And so this is, you know, there's some preachers who will remain unnamed that have, you know, large churches on beltways in large Texas cities that talk about your best life now. This is about your best life for a billion years. The book, well done. You know, how you can be assured that your life will be handsomely rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you guys know you're one of the finest Bible teaching radio network in the world. Praise God. That's why we love being with you guys, Tim. You know, there's two judgment seats. There's the white throne, great white throne judgment. Don't want to go there. That's the judgment seat for unbelievers. And then there's the judgment seat of Christ. And we know that that's a judgment seat, not of condemnation, because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, we read in Romans, but that's the judgment seat of rewards or loss of rewards. You remember the context, right? It's
right.
Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. And so what's the difference? What constitutes that you'll get wood, hay, and stubble versus gold, silver, and precious stones? I mean, it's good to know the difference on that.
Right.
So
Dan, let me ask you this. Ed Vitaglione here. By the way, folks, the voice you hear besides Tim and my voice is Dan Steiner. He's president and founder of Preborn. He's also author of the book we're discussing with him, Hearing Jesus Say, Well Done, The Secret to Securing Heaven's rewards. So, Dan, let me ask you, you did mention the person who will go unnamed, who preaches on how you can have your best life now. Okay, so, yeah, who could that be? So, but the subtitle of yours is talking about heaven's rewards. So is that part of the big distinction between those who will hear Jesus say, well done, and those who won't? And that is, what is your focus? Is your focus on doing heaven's, the will of heaven, or doing your own will? Because your best life now, that's a pretty compelling kind of blueprint for a lot of people, even those in the church. I want to enjoy life, and I want to, you know, see kind of my will be done. Is that going too far in trying to differentiate these two groups?
I think that's just very poignantly said, Ed, as the distinctive between those who are living for earth and those who are living for eternity. 'Twas only one life, which will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And so Jesus himself is very clear about this. He said, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupt them, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. It's like you can bank in heaven. And so what are we doing today as believers in Christ that are listening, and us on the radio here, to lay up treasures? What are we doing? What can we do to lay up treasures in heaven? And the book is about how to, and I'm going to say one part of what the book is, and that is, well done. Hearing Jesus say well done is based on the parable of the talents and the parable of the mina. Now you dudes will remember what that is. That's, you know, one had five, one had two, one had one, and the one that had five brought five more, and the one that had two brought two more. And to them, he heard the words from the master who had been gone for a long time, but came back. And how many of you know Jesus has been gone a while,
right?
But he's coming back, and his rewards are with him. And we want to hear him say, well done. And it's based upon what we do with that which he entrusted to our care, that which he entrusted to our care. Thessalonians says that we have been approved by God. Thank God we've been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, which we speak, not fearing men, but fearing God, who will judge our hearts. Very clearly said there that God's given us an entrustment, as he did, as the master did with the servants with the mina, and he wants us to bring increase with that. No bigger increase, no better heaven, eternity relevant increase could be brought except to further the gospel for which Christ came and died. And so the book also talks about, you know, so you'll hear well done by being able to bring kingdom increase with your life for eternity, not a bigger boat and a bigger house and a new Tesla, which will go 250 miles and then run out of gas. But it, you know, it's about
it doesn't have gas
increase.
Dan.
Yeah. Well, electricity, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah. All right. So we're talking to Dan Steiner. Well, Dan, how can people get a copy of your book? The book is Hearing Jesus Say Well Done, The Secret to Securing Heaven's Rewards. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for this, guys. Best place to go to Amazon, order it, danielsteiner.com, danielsteiner.org. You could get there too. But order the book, leave a review if it's something that is helpful to your walk with the Lord. You'll find in it as well the secret. Single secret to hearing the rewards that are waiting for us in heaven. There's 10 different ones, guys, that are spelled out there in Revelation. Walk with me in white, eat from the tree of life. All of them have a single qualifying word. It's amazing. They all have the same qualifying word. What is that word? You have to read the book. I'm not going to spoil it. But, you know, go to Amazon, Hearing Jesus Say Well Done, The Secret of Securing Heaven's Rewards. I don't aspire to be an author. I just want to get the word out. You can have your best life for a billion years on the first day in eternity. That's what it's about. So,
all right, Dan, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Take care.
Yep. Be blessed.
Okay, that's Daniel Steiner joining us from Indianapolis. And the book is called Hearing Jesus Say Well Done. Dan spells his last name S-T-E-I-N-E-R. What do you think about
it? Well, listen, Dan's exactly right. I mean, Christians are called to recognize that heaven is our destiny. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, where your treasure is, where your heart is, there is where your treasure is. So your treasure is either here on earth or in heaven. He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And that seems to be what Dan Steiner is saying in this book. And really, what more do we want other than to hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I like his emphasis on what are we called to do? What is the church called to do? Obviously, preaching the gospel, being salt and light, all these kinds of things are what we're called to do, and that's what God is going to look at, Jesus is going to look at when we stand before him.
Have you ever wondered, though, treasures in heaven? Heaven itself is a treasure.
Yeah, true. Absolutely.
So what is what are treasures in heaven that...
I think this goes to, I don't want to spoil anything. I have not had an opportunity to read Dan's book, but I'm guessing.
So you're not plagiarizing what you're about to say.
I'm not plagiarizing. Okay. So I'm guessing that's what Dan is going to be talking about, okay, is that the rewards that we obtain when we stand before the Lord are the kinds of treasures that Jesus is talking about. I use this example. You use this example years ago when I was teaching on this subject when I was pastoring. I pulled out a $20 bill, and I said, "Now look," I said, "I'm not trying to condemn anybody, but you can spend this $20 bill on anything you want. You can spend it on food at McDonald's where the president may be serving fries, okay? Or if you see someone who's in need, you can give that $20." to that person and tell them about the love of Jesus. On the one hand, spending it at McDonald's, nothing wrong with that. You have to eat. That's what money does. But that $20, that same $20, takes on an eternal emphasis when it becomes an instrument for sharing the gospel with someone. So I that's just the easiest way I've been able to kind of let people know that what we do on earth can have an earthly focus or a heavenly focus. And that's an important distinction that the New Testament lays out.
Amen. All right. So have you ever given your 20, have you had that decision on whether to go to McDonald's or hand it to a homeless man?
I make sure I have $40 in my wallet. And now I will say this.
You can do both?
Well, listen, my wife accuses me. I love giving money away. I love it. And my wife is the one who always says, "Hey, we got to make the car payment. So don't, but, I've done that." Well, yeah. We probably all have done that. I like to buy, if I see, people in uniform, whether they're police or, somebody, in uniform, National Guard or whatever, I like buying their lunch. Yeah. And I'm not saying that I'm doing that to earn God's, to please God. I just like doing it.
Yeah,
I like blessing people.
Yeah, amen. Well, you can bless me anytime you want to. I am right down the hall.
Yes,
and listen, you can bring me gift cards, however you want to bless me, brother. If that makes you feel better.
Well, hey,
I'm just saying.
Yeah, sure.
Just because Christmas is not that far away, I'm a size Harbor Freight gift card.
Yeah,
yes. If you need me,
go Harbor Chris. Freight. Go, Chris. You like Harbor Freight?
I do.
Where's Harbor Freight?
It's kind of a lower cost hardware store, isn't it? Kind of
right.
Like
if you need a lawn tool or a tool, and you're probably not going to use it a lot, you don't want to spend a lot. It's very right up your
alley. Cost effective.
Like what? Like a screwdriver or hammer?
Oh, all kinds of yard
saws.
Yeah, all kinds of tools. That's a hardware
machete.
Store.
Okay.
Kind of like Tractor Supply in a way, or Ace Hardware.
Yeah,
you know, Ace is a place with a
helpful
hardware man.
Yeah.
Is it Hardware Man?
They've changed it now. It's Ace is the place for the helpful hardware store. They took out the man.
I don't know if it's a woke thing or not, but okay. So they don't know what to do with gender.
Ace is the place for the helpful hardware man is what it is now.
That's what it always has been. All right, what's your next story, Chris?
I'm going to do this one, and then I'll have a conversation with Steve during the break when we tag out. So CBS 60 Minutes, they have been criticized for weeks now, ever since Kamala Harris did their sit down interview. CBS has been accused of editing one of her quote word salad responses to something that she was asked on 60 Minutes. I have the audio here that begins with the CBS 60 Minutes personality asking her a question. She gives a ramble, and then it's going to be followed by what you'll hear him ask the question again, and you'll hear a very carefully edited response. Clip six.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
Well, Bill, the work that we have done has resulted in a number of movements in that region by Israel that were very much prompted by or a result of many things, including our advocacy for what needs to happen in the region.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
We are not going to stop pursuing what is necessary for the United States to be clear about where we stand on the need for this war to end.
So again, the beginning of that was him asking the question. She had a word salad of a response. Then you hear him ask the question. So it began with the unedited version, and it ended with the edited version. And people are saying clearly 60 Minutes did their best to try to make her sound good in this particular instance. And 60 Minutes has been hammered, criticized, really, for saying they're out to promote her or whatnot. 60 Minutes and CBS have claimed they only edited that for time purposes, but not everybody's buying that. And I have one example here of Joe Concha talking about this on Fox and Friends, clip eight.
Wow, it took 14 days to put out that statement. This statement 60 Minutes issued is absolutely meaningless. The only resolution here is for the program to release the full transcript, release the hounds, release the interview in its entirety from start to finish. But the network won't do that. You know why they won't do that? Two reasons. One, the people that run that network want Kamala Harris to win and Donald Trump to lose. This ain't about journalism, it's about activism. And two, they know by releasing the transcript or the unedited video, it will likely show that on multiple occasions, this interview cut the guts out of the various word salad the vice president again served up. Her campaign now is only reduced to talking about Trump. It's not working. They're not giving people a compelling reason to vote for her. It's another reason why Donald Trump is not only winning this election as it stands right now, but perhaps is headed towards an electoral landslide.
I agree with everything he said.
Just kind of a mic drop and walk out of the room there.
Was that Joe Concha you said on Fox and Friends this morning?
Okay. I don't even think they should release the transcript. They should release the video.
Yeah, they should.
But they're not going to do it because I think they did edit it, just like Joe Concha said, and it would be a massive hit to the legitimacy of CBS as a news outlet, admittedly part of the mainstream media, but a huge hit to their legitimacy if everyone could see how protective they were of Kamala Harris. Again, to Joe Concha's point. So I don't think you'll ever see that video released, not before the election, because as he said, they want Kamala to win. They want Donald Trump to lose. Listen, I understand having to edit it for length, but the fact that they put out two different statements means some editorial decision was made. Mm-hmm. Somebody had to say, no, not that clip, this one over here. And what makes them pick this one as opposed to that one?
Right.
And I think it's all based on how it makes Kamala Harris look.
Mm-hmm.
If it makes her look better, we go with this one. Well, that's not being a news agency. That's being a propaganda outlet and an arm of the Democratic Party.
For people that are not aware, myself, Steve, Brent, a lot of people cut audio that we play on the show. And we do from time to time cut things for time purposes.
Right.
But we disclose that before we play the clip. Now, we had to cut this down because there's too long of a pause and all these kinds of things. We never try to make the person look better. And that's
or look worse.
What arguably 60 Minutes did here, which is a shame because that's their flagship news product. It's been around for longer than I've been on this earth.
I remember it when I was in high school when it came out.
So, well, listen. So what Joe Concha is saying there, there is no doubt that the mainstream media, they've always leaned left and they've always been pro-Democrat. So the only way that 60 Minutes would be able to get away from what Joe Concha is talking about right there and the accusation of being blatantly biased to support Kamala Harris, trying to hide her weak interview by putting forth something that's edited to make her look better, like they're her PR team, that is 60 Minutes / CBS, is to, like you said, just put out the whole interview. Just put it up there.
Mm-hmm.
put out the whole interview and let people see it for themselves and see what happened right there.
Right.
So you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. So we got about it. Why don't you tell us, Chris, people want to get our news brief. We do a daily news brief Monday through Friday that people can get our American Family Radio news team puts together. Talk about that.
Yeah, if you go to AFN.net, you'll see at the top right of the page there's a subscribe button. Click that and give us your name and email address. We're not going to share that with anybody. We're not going to sell your information. The reason we're getting it is because when you sign up for our free daily email news brief, once a day you will get an email from our crack staff there in the editing department. It's a compilation of about five or six stories, things we're covering that you need to know to keep you and yours informed. So sign up today for free at AFN.net.
AFN.net is excellent, folks. Make sure you take advantage of it. It's free. And once a day, that isn't bad in terms of getting the news of the day from a Christian perspective.
All right, we're going to take a short time out right here. We shall be back. Steve Paisley Jordahl is right down the hall walking this way. Mm-hmm. Chris, we thank you.
Thank you.
Ed and I both thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
From the bottom
of our hearts.
The bottom of the barrel,
Brent, your silence speaks volumes right now.
Right, your contribution to this show. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.